You know what time it is. Come on. Weekend. Warrior. Podcast. Let me hear you. Come on. Weekend. Warrior. Podcast.
Weekend Warrior Pod. Let's go.
No hot takes. No garbage. Just real talk.
Weekend Warrior Pod. Let's go.
No fake takes. No first takes. Just real talk.
Weekend Warrior Pod. Let's go.
This is the Weekend Warrior Podcast presented by WTP Sports. I am your host, as always, Pat Lane. This is episode 66. That makes it the Brian Stork episode, the Scott Pollard episode, or even the Daniel Nava episode. I do also want to welcome any of you that are listening on 12 Ounce Radio right now. Super excited to join the crew over there. So if you're listening on 12 Ounce Sports Radio, I appreciate you listening, and hopefully you'll tune in every week for me. This week, we actually have a fantasy football draft preview with the guys from Eat Sleep Fantasy. I have Dale DeMont. I have Steve Spack on with me. We go through an extensive mock draft, and we talk about guys not only that we're taking, but also guys around the fringe, and then some guys at the end of the draft too. So it's a lot of fun. It's kind of long, but that's okay because this is the only thing you're going to need to listen to if you're talking about, if you're looking to get information about your fantasy draft. So definitely stay tuned. It's really good. At the end, actually, we do our 3-minute drill together. There is no This Week in Sports History. I already did one yesterday, so I don't need to do another one. 3-minute drill I did with the guys, and so that's pretty cool as well. Before we do get into the mock draft, however, I do want to remind you about Beard Brand. Beard Brand's a premium men's grooming company with products not only for your beard, but also for your hair and body. Do yourself a favor and head over to beardbrand.com and take care of yourself. I mentioned the other day, but they got the new utility bar coming out. They got the utility balm already, which is just straight fire. And the utility bar, if it's anything like the utility balm, it's going to be ridiculous. You're going to use it for everything you got. It's fantastic. So absolutely 100% check them out at beardbrand.com. Big things coming from them, so you don't want to miss it. All right, without any further ado, let's get into the mock draft with the Eat Sleep Fantasy guys. All right, so for our fantasy draft special today, we're doing a mock draft, and we're doing it with two Eat Sleep Fantasy guys and me, of course. We are doing with Dale DeMont and Steve Spack. Steve Spack. I was going to try the last name, and I just blew it. So,
I was all confident, and then I blew it.
So that's the way it goes.
You said it right the first time when you were rehearsing it.
I said it right when I was rehearsing it. Maybe I'll just edit that part in.
there you go.
So we are doing a mock draft on fantasypros.com, and we actually got the fourth spot. And so we're going to kind of go through and give you our picks at the 12-team league, half-point PPR, normal roster. So QB, two running backs, two wide receivers, a tight end, a flex, and then obviously a defense and a kicker. And so we'll go through. I don't know how many rounds we're going to do, but we're going to go through just to give you guys an idea. The first round, yeah, there are some guys that we're going to certainly talk about. But I think as we go forward, that kind of fifth, sixth round is, I was telling the guys off air, that's where I struggle with, you know, because I'm trying to decide between a running back two and a wide receiver two, and I'm just not sure who the heck I should take. And so, you know, obviously the rankings that you have and the prep work that you have goes into some of that, but, you know, we'll get a chance to talk about that on the show. So I guess let's just get started. Dale, take us away, Dale.
Awesome. Okay, so like Pat mentioned, we are doing a half-point PPR mock draft from the fourth spot. Starting the draft, obviously you have the big three. Actually, three out of the big four, Bell, Zeke, and Gurley went 1, 2, and 3. In a half-point PPR, we have David Johnson, Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, those guys available. For me, it's a no-brainer, but I guess I'll let you guys take it away, and I'll input my feelings in a second, I guess.
Go ahead, Steve.
What are you thinking, Pat?
Well, so I want your opinion because – I'll tell you why, but I want your opinion. Go ahead.
Well, the no-brainer for me is David Johnson.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. So I'm actually – the league that I'm in, it's a one-keeper league, single-keeper league, half-point PPR, and I have David Johnson and Zeke on my team right now, and I won the league last year, so I have the 10th pick, so I'm not getting either of them back. I am struggling with who I should keep. And so I guess the question that I have for you guys is, if Zeke and Johnson were both available, who would you take?
For me, David Johnson's my number one running back this year. I have full confidence that he's going to come back. I seriously think he's going to finish as a number one running back in fantasy football, especially in a half point or full point PPR. For me, a no-brainer. 100 easy, 120 targets. He's looking good this year.
Okay.
Yeah, for redraft leagues, I'm a huge fan of David Johnson and Todd Gurley in full and half PPR. You know, I would take either one of them guys, mainly because, you know, and I've talked on our show too with just I utilize in half PPR. The difference between that and touchdowns is how I really differentiate my tiers on players. But guys like Todd Gurley, David Johnson, they're going to get their touchdowns and they're going to get their receptions as well. David Johnson more than Gurley. So that's why, to me, at this point in this format, DJ is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. So let's go with Johnson at four.
All right.
And then it comes all the way back to us at the end of the second round.
That's right. So after David Johnson, guys like Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, Antonio Brown was selected. Starting of the second round, we had Julio Jones, Keenan Allen, and Melvin Gordon, Dalvin Cook. Right before us at 2-8 was Rob Gronkowski. So we're at 2-9 right now.
Gentlemen, before we pick, just scroll down to that thing again. Just give me one guy on there you think is too high. You know, one guy that you're looking at saying, I don't love the pick at that spot.
Saquon Barkley at 5 overall is a little steep for me. He definitely has a talent, maybe to finish as a top 5 running back, maybe. But just looking at, you know, the format and seeing Antonio Brown out there finishing as a number one wide receiver, I think 4 or 5 straight years, it's hard to select somebody like Saquon Barkley over Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Half PPR, I think that's too high for Barkley and even Kamara, and I like Kamara. I like Kamara more so back, like, the back end of the first round or – you know, the first couple of picks of the second round. And even in this format, I mean, Gronk is Gronk, but I don't know if I'd be taking him in the second round, even in the later portion of it.
It's a risk. I mean, that's the one that kind of stuck out to me. That's a big risk for me. And McCaffrey, too. I mean, I think McCaffrey's a very good player, but the question to me is, how much are they going to run the ball with him? Is he going to be strictly receiving? And, you know, I mean, he might get 120 targets, like you say, but like you said with Johnson, but if he doesn't, then you're totally relying on him catching the ball.
Sure. I mean,
John Chapman and I just talked about that whole situation. If you watch the first preseason game and that first drive, they came out and they gave him 6 touches and they gave him the ball on the goal line and he punched it in. So, I mean, he had 4 carries and a couple receptions. So, I mean, they came out and made a statement like, here, we are in all aspects of the game implementing Christian McCaffrey. So that was kind of nice to see.
Look, I mean, okay. A 2-7 for Christian McCaffrey might be a little bit high. I don't know if I would take him that early. But, I mean, you look at what North Turner can do for quarterbacks, and he's going to put Cam in the best position to make plays. And Christian McCaffrey, I think, is their best playmaker right now. So you're going to see a lot of Cam to McCaffrey, I think, this year. And McCaffrey should finish as a solid RB2. But, hey, like I said, 2-7, I think, is a little steep.
Yeah. All right.
All right, so like I said, Gronk was chosen 2-8. We are on the clock. No quarterbacks have been taken. Guys such as Devonta Freeman, Jerick McKinnon, Jordan Howard are available for running backs. The wide receivers are Mike Evans, Adam Thielen, T.Y. Hilton. And, of course, no other tight ends besides Gronk was taken. So what would you guys do in this situation?
Yeah, I mean, so this is the spot for me that I'm like, what the hell am I going to do? I don't love Freeman. I mean, I know Freeman's good, and he's going to get the ball a ton, but Coleman's still there, and it's just like that whole dynamic I don't love. And we also drafted a running back in the first round, so I'm almost then partial to go towards Evans, but then I don't trust Mike Evans. So then I'm like, well, now, you know, what do we do? Maybe T.Y. Hilton. I think Hilton might have a big year with Luck coming back. I guess if it were my pick, I'm probably going Hilton here just because I don't love the Freeman pick, and I just don't trust Mike Evans. He's going to have some really big games, and he's also going to have some really crappy games,
And I'm drafting for consistency. I think T.Y. will have is going to have a big year this year. So,
yeah, he should have a big year this year. And we're picking again in how many picks are we picking again here?
Six
picks, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So can I see the board again, Dale?
Yeah.
You know, with Evans, T.Y., you have Thielen, you have Baldwin, Diggs. So there's a few guys there. And me personally, I like T.Y. He's trending up along with, you know, with Andrew Luck coming back and his health and everything like that. That's all good. But with the wide receivers that are available to the type of value you can get at running back position, I would almost lean towards like Devonta Freeman or even Jordan Howard here. And then, you know, the wide receivers that are going to come back around, you're at least getting a good 1-2 punch at the running back position. And there's enough wide receivers there in half PPR that you're going to get somebody that's going to be at least a solid wide receiver one for you.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you're looking at, I mean, Jordan Howard just jumps out to me. I love Jordan Howard this year. I think he's been severely underdrafted. I think taking somebody like Jordan Howard here and then coming around, you're going to get somebody like Doug Baldwin, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, even Amari Cooper as that wide receiver in the third round. I think those are all pretty good values. So I'm not sure I would jump on Mike Evans now. I think I'd rather start off with Johnson, Howard, and then one of those, you know, maybe you get lucky enough to get Thielen.
Let's do it.
I mean, don't be surprised if T.Y. or either one of the Minnesota receivers come back to us.
Sure, sure. And I'll be okay with that. So what running back? I really like Jordan Howard. But
yeah, let's go Howard. I like that pick.
All right. Let's see. Jordan Howard. All right, after we selected Jordan Howard, Freeman, McKinnon, Diggs, Mike Evans, Larry Fitzgerald, and LeSean McCoy were drafted. So we have some good receivers still available. Like Steve said, T.Y. Hilton and Adam Thielen and Doug Baldwin are available.
Yeah. I like it. I mean, you know my pick. So go ahead, Steve.
Oh, right here, I'm with you. I would take T.Y. Hilton all day right here.
Good.
I mean, that's a solid spot. He's 1 year removed from 1,400 yard season. He's getting Andrew, like I said, he's getting Andrew Luck back.
Even without Luck, I mean, he's still almost a 1,000 yard receiver. He didn't even have a great season, and he's, you know, kind of sneakily got almost 1,000 yards. So his touchdowns were low, but he's never been a big touchdown guy, anyways. In a half point PPR, you're hoping that he can get those 5-6 touchdowns, maybe a little bit above his average over the last few years, and do something special. So let's go ahead and get T.Y. Hilton.
Now, can I ask you guys, Fitzgerald was taken there before Hilton, before Cooper, before Thielen, before all those other guys. Do you agree with that, or are you on board saying, you know, you think maybe Fitzgerald should go after those guys?
No.
Well, for me, it's about, you know, a little bit too about earlier picks and how risky you were with your earlier picks. If you took somebody like Saquon Barkley really early, I would go for a little bit safer pick. And Larry Fitzgerald is almost as safe as it gets, right? I mean, Larry Fitzgerald, Demaryius Thomas, those kind of guys, you know what you're going to get from them. So it kind of depends on what you're going. I mean, the robot who selected Larry Fitzgerald also, you know, got Jerick McKinnon a few spots earlier. So you're kind of going, even if you're just looking at his last two picks, from Jerick McKinnon to Larry Fitzgerald. I really don't mind the Larry Fitzgerald pick because it is a little safer. Jerick McKinnon, we don't know exactly what we're going to get. A lot of people are hopeful, but if you're going to go and get somebody like Jerick McKinnon, why not get the safe bet here, Larry Fitzgerald, rather than, you know, getting somebody like Amari Cooper, who has a very high ceiling. I get it, but you know, he is a risk in his own right.
Yeah.
See, and even like the McKinnon pick, I think where he's going, his ADP is just insanely high. And, you know, Fitzgerald and redraft, I think that's still even a little bit high for him, but I don't mind it simply because there's nobody outside of him and David Johnson that's going to be pushing for receptions. I mean, there's nobody that's really separating themselves for that wide receiver two spot. So, I mean, you're going to see a lot of Larry Fitzgerald, you know, hopefully with him, because what we've seen the last couple of years is that he's come out of the gate. He's been hot and he was really good. And then he tapered off at the end of the year. So hopefully we don't see that this year, but it's pretty hard to tell.
Okay. Two running backs I want to ask you about that were taken between this pick and our pick are Alex Collins and Joe Mixon. So Mixon obviously was selected earlier in the third round, right after our pick, actually, and Collins just got taken. I mean, I'm worried about Alex Collins just because I haven't seen him for a full year in Baltimore. I don't necessarily love the running game in Baltimore either. I don't know. And I know, you know, Mixon had a ton of talent coming out, and he looks – I mean, the play that he made in the first preseason game was ridiculous, but I just don't know if that's what – I don't know. I don't know if he's going to live up to it, basically, is what I'm getting at.
I'll talk about Alex Collins, and Steve, if you want to touch on Joe Mixon. Alex Collins, last year when he took over, from taking over, I think around week 8 or 9, he had over 4.5 yards per carry. And he was getting touchdowns as well. And, I mean, when they fed him the ball, when he was getting 14, 15, 16, 17 plus carries a game, nobody else was, especially somebody like Buck Allen. Even when Buck Allen was healthy, he still wasn't getting touches. So, really, they really started amping up on Alex Collins at the same time that Buck Allen was getting healthy as well. So, I'm not worried about anybody coming behind Alex Collins. This is his job, and there's not very many bell cows. Look, Baltimore Ravens, their offense is not going to be very good, but they're going to rely a lot on Alex Collins here. I'd like him a lot in the middle or late of the fourth. You know, if you get somebody like, if you go 2 wide receivers early, and then you end up with Jordan Howard and Alex Collins, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. My only problem with Alex Collins is ball security issues. But other than that, I like him a lot. But really, you know, to your point, Dale, there's really nobody there pushing him. So even if he drops the ball, you know, a handful of times throughout the year, he's still going to be the guy. But Joe Mixon, though, I think what a lot of people miss with him is that he didn't start until week 9 last year. And as a rookie, he had to learn 2 different systems last year. You know, they fired their OC. I don't remember what week it was that Bill Lazor took over. But he had to learn 2 different systems as a rookie. And, you know, he was able to find some success in the later part of the season in that system. Now, having a full off season, you know, and he is the guy there. I mean, I really think he's going to exceed expectations. I see him going a lot in the, you know, right around mid third round. If you get him like late third or early fourth, I think that's, you know, I wouldn't say value, but, you know, you're definitely coming ahead of the game because I think he's going to exceed expectations this year, you know, coming into his second season.
All right, cool. All right, nice. All right, so here we are at, what, it's 4-9 for us, and it's our fourth pick.
We're at 4-9. Don't forget, last pick we had T.Y. Hilton. So just really quick, just to recap, we had David Johnson, Jordan Howard, and T.Y. Hilton. So 2 running backs and a wide receiver so far. If you care about the balance, maybe you're, you know, keeping that in mind. But at 4-9, Derrick Henry was actually drafted just before us, along with Jarvis Landry and Alex Collins. So at 4-9, we have guys like Allen Robinson. Still, the only quarterback taken off the board was Aaron Rodgers so far. We're in the back of the fourth. As far as running backs go, let's see. We have guys like Deion Lewis, rookie Royce Freeman, rookie Rashad Penny, Rex Burkhead, those kind of guys. Wide receivers, we have Allen Robinson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Marvin Jones. Yeah, that's about it. So where are you leaning? What's jumping out to you, Pat?
Well, I wish Jarvis Landry were still around because I would have absolutely taken him. Of course, he's gone. Allen Robinson, I like, but I'm just not sold on Mitch Trubisky. So, like, he's the number one receiver there, and I guess Bortles was terrible in Jacksonville when he was there, and he did just fine anyways. And they're going to air it out probably in Chicago. So, you know, getting Allen Robinson, I think, wouldn't be the end of the world. We also have Jordan Howard, so you kind of, you know, tag team in those two, I think, is fine. Maybe Freeman, if you want to go another running back, if you're looking, maybe throw him in there. You know, even Brandon Cooks, I think, is going to have a big year with the Rams. I think Goff spreads it around a lot, and so he may not put up ridiculous numbers, but I think, I mean, they paid him $14 million a year. They're serious about getting him the ball. He's their number one receiver. I think he's going to have a pretty big year, but I guess if I had to pick one right now, I'd probably take Allen Robinson. I might think quarterback coming back around. I'm certainly not taking one right now with everyone on the board still outside of Rodgers, but I might think about it at the top of the fifth.
See, for me, the amount of wide receivers, the names that are available there, I think this is the time that you want to get one, and I think a guy like Royce Freeman, if he's your target, would come back to us within the next six picks. If not, then you can look at taking another wide receiver with the amount of guys that are on the board, because the names that we're looking at right now over the next six picks, you know, there's, you could really get some solid value at right. wide receiver for your team and building depth, because you have those flex spots and this is half PPR. Me personally, I've never really been a big fan of taking a quarterback until the earliest eighth round, because, you know, you got to look at your roster construction and, you know, to use Brito's words, position scarcity, right? So, you know, you can get quarterbacks, you know, this is redraft we're talking about. So you can get a guy like Phillip Rivers in the 10th round. And I've done that many a times throughout his career and have won championships with him as my quarterback, because I spent the first 8 to 10 rounds, you know, building a solid roster and a lot of depth. You know, you're going to be looking at a guy like Jared Goff at that time. You could look at a guy like, you know, potentially Matthew Stafford at that time. You know, I don't know why, but Kirk Cousins' ADP isn't rising at all. So,
yeah.
You know, you can get guys like that later, you know, guys that are going to be top 10 fantasy quarterbacks. So in a position like this, you know, you can take an Allen Robinson, you could take a Juju Smith-Schuster, come back around, see what running backs are there. And then if there's nobody that really stands out to you that you want to add as some solid depth to your team, then, you know, looking at the names on the wide receiver board, you can stockpile there and still get value at running back the next time around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to touch on what you're saying a little bit with the quarterbacks, you know, I have Deshaun Watson as my number one quarterback, and I know that differs from person to person, whatever you think. But for me, my personal strategy is if Deshaun Watson is available in the seventh round, I'm taking him every single time. And most, 9 times out of 10, he's not. But if he's available in the seventh round, I'm getting Deshaun Watson just because I see the value there. You know, when you're drafted, I understand, you know, there's other guys like Carson Wentz, Kirk Cousins, stuff like that. Phillip Rivers, like you said, I just think Deshaun Watson is that much better in that position. But if you don't like it and you're, you know, you have still have Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson as your 1-2 and they're taken, then there's no reason to get Deshaun Watson. I'm just basing off my rankings. If that number one quarterback, if any number one quarterback is available in that seventh round, I'm grabbing him. That's just how I feel about quarterbacks. For okay. me, for the running backs and the wide receivers, I'm kind of going to differ a little bit. Maybe, Pat, you could be the tiebreaker here between me and Steve. I'm looking at these wide receivers. I'm thinking Allen Robinson, Brandon Cooks, Marvin Jones, Josh Gordon, Corey Davis. They're all kind of, I don't know if they're in the exact same tier, but they're all pretty close for me. You know, anywhere between the, you know, 18th to 25th quarter wide receiver. I see Royce Freeman, and I will be devastated if we pass on Royce Freeman and we don't get him in the next round. Because besides Royce Freeman here, I mean, you're looking at guys like Sony Michel and Marshawn Lynch, and that's not fun.
No. I'm with you, Dale. I mean, I think it makes sense, especially with the wide receivers that are available. I think we can definitely get a solid one as we come back. And not only that, I think the people that are drafting between us are going to probably think the same way. So those guys are going to be taking – it's not like six wide receivers are going to go off the board here. I would think probably only three, maybe four wide receivers go off the board, and we're still going to have, you know, a decent wide receiver too, where we're going to get a solid flex in Royce Freeman that we more than likely would miss out on if we did. And don't even talk about drafting Sony Michel, please. I'm a Patriots fan. I love the Patriots. I will never draft a Bill Belichick running back unless it's super late. Never mind one that had knee problems in college and is getting his knee drained right now in preseason.
Right.
No chance am I going anywhere near Sony Michel until wicked late if somehow he drops, which he's not going to. But if he does, then I'll take him wicked late as a flyer. But there's no way I'm relying on him to be a starter for me. I think that's nuts if anyone's considering that. So I'm down with Royce Freeman. So let's do it.
All right. Let's see. Royce Freeman. And not to mention.
The only New England running back I've ever drafted, and it's only in PPR, is James White. And that's mainly for the end of the year because he always turns it on at the end of the season.
Yeah. He does.
And then rides through the playoffs and the Super Bowl if they make it.
He does.
I don't know what it is about that guy. He's just, it's uncanny. He has a knack for it.
If you're ever in a playoff one, then in that situation, you take James White every time because James White is a touchdown machine in the playoffs. But your regular season, it's like, yeah, he's fine. But, you know, they don't really use him until the playoffs.
All right. Well, here you go, guys. Next six picks, five wide receivers were taken in one quarter.
Oh, I was wrong.
So we had Robinson, Crabtree, Cooks, Smith-Schuster, Jeffrey taken along with Deshaun Watson. So there goes my quarterback. So we're looking at if we wanted a wide receiver, we're looking at guys like Marvin Jones, Josh Gordon, Corey Davis, which I don't think that those three guys are that much worse than Juju Smith-Schuster and Alshon Jeffrey. And you know,
yeah.
Like we really didn't get hurt that bad by not drafting a wide receiver, but that's just the way it is. So
T.Y. is our only wide receiver right now, right?
Yep.
So I think at this point I can't put any stock in Josh Gordon at all. I refuse to. Just because the guy's had so many issues throughout his career, and he can't even be in camp and stay focused and all that stuff. So it's hard to say what's going to happen when he comes back to the team, whether he's going to keep his head on straight or not. So, I mean, with what's there, the two guys at wide receiver, if we're taking one that I'm going to target at this point, would be Marvin Jones or Corey Davis. I mean, Marvin Jones, even in PPR, outscored Golden Tate. I think they were 10-11 last year. And then Corey Davis, I know we didn't see anything from him until the very end of his rookie year, and he was plagued by injuries and whatnot. But he's the unquestioned number one there.
Yeah.
And you know, so I mean, those are the only two guys that I'm really looking at. And you know, the other big thing with Corey Davis is, you know, if you look at Matt LaFleur coming over there, yeah, you know, he brings a whole new system, and a system I think that fits him well. And John and I have talked about that a lot. And so I don't know. I think you can't go wrong with either one of those guys.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I actually really like Corey Davis. Interesting thing about Marvin Jones, you know, he did have a bigger season last season than previous. His touchdowns were there. He had 9 touchdowns last year. But over the last 3 years, he's had at least 103 targets. So very consistent, around 60 receptions per year last 3 years. He had a couple big games that pushed him over the edge, and those 9 touchdowns really helped his fantasy value. So I expect Marvin Jones to come down a little bit, back down to earth, but definitely not.
I'm expecting his touchdowns to decrease because it's very possible that Galladay could impact that.
Right.
It's very possible, especially too, because, you know, they, not that Ebron was really a red zone threat, but, you know, Darren Fells, they let go, you know, Stafford utilized him in the red zone too. So the only real big target he has in the red zone right now is Galladay. So I think anything that touchdown wise for Jones and Tate, it's going to be catch, you know, for Tate, it's going to be catch and run. Or he's going to take a shot down the field. Marvin Jones, it's going to be a shot down the field, a post route over the middle, whatever the case may be. But when it gets in the red zone, I think you're going to be looking at, you know, swing passes to Kerryon Johnson or Theo Riddick, or, you know, trying to throw one up for Galladay to go and get. Or if they're inside the 10, letting Blount just beat everybody up and plow his way into the end zone like you watched in New England there.
Right. And unfortunately had done to us in the Super Bowl. But but I will say, guys, I differ from you here because in this situation, and I know it's risky, but I'm taking Gordon in this situation only because he has the potential to have a ridiculous season. And I think And I think the them keeping him out of camp is intentional. I think it's something that Gordon and the team decided together. And I think the reason for that is because Hard Knocks is there. It's everything's being filmed. Everything's on film. Everything's scrutinized to the nth degree. And the last thing that they want right now is for every single move that Josh Gordon makes to be, you know, dissected and looked at, you know, intently. And I just think they're looking at it saying, let's just give him a break. He's here. He's working out. He's talking to the team all the time. The team and him are going back and forth. I think that they, you know, think he's going to have a big year. Now, the only question is, are they going after Dez? If Dez comes in, now you got Dez, Landry, and Gordon. That's a lot of mouths to feed with Tyrod Taylor, a quarterback. So maybe, you know, his stock will diminish if that happens. I mean, Marvin Jones, I guess, is the sensible pick. He's the one that makes a lot of sense. They're going to throw the ball a ton. They've thrown the ball more than anyone else in the league the past few years. So he's going to get his targets. Davis scored two touchdowns against the Patriots and just was uncoverable in that game. And so if you could, you know, if he does that this season, then he could be unbelievable. But he's playing with Mariota, and can Mariota sustain a number one wide receiver? That's to be decided. Based on what you guys said, and probably based on the smart judgment and what I probably should do anyways, I think we should go Marvin Jones.
Okay. It's your show.
I don't think you're wrong about Josh Gordon, but my problem is if they're going through all this trouble for him, you know, to get him back to the team for week one, he's going to be under a microscope at some point in time. So, you know, is this extra little bit of time really going to do anything? It all remains to be seen. But me personally, I'm not putting any bank in that whatsoever.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Okay.
Dale, I'd just like to say, if your computer dies, I'm going to murder you.
I just plugged it in.
Oh, you plugged it in. All right.
I was watching it.
I see the lightning bolt. It's charging.
Yep, there it is.
All right. So after we drafted Marvin Jones, Josh Gordon right after that, Kerryon Johnson, Cam Newton, Chris Hogan at the end of the fifth, Rashad Penny, then Tom Brady at the beginning of the sixth with Deion Lewis. Russell Wilson was also drafted. Sammy Watkins came at 6'8". So right now, guys, we have a pretty balanced roster. We have three running backs and two wide receivers here. Still some good players remaining. I'll give you a quick rundown on who's remaining just to give you an idea. We have Emmanuel Sanders, Jimmy Graham, Evan Ingram, a couple good tight ends, Delanie Walker. Then you're going down to guys like Robert Woods, Ronald Jones, the rookie out of Tampa Bay, Jameson Crowder. So what do you want to do?
I think we stay out of tight ends still. I mean, I think, you know, there are tight ends available. No one really jumps out at me. I mean, some of those guys will be good, I'm sure. But it's not, you know, it's not Kelsey, it's not Gronk. And after that, they're all pretty much the same. So for me, I'm staying away from that. I think maybe we go wide out, although if we're going running back, I'd probably look, you know, between three guys, Jones, Thompson, and Duke Johnson, I think, especially where you're talking about a PPR, you know, half-point PPR league. I think those guys make sense. Jameson Crowder, I think, should have a huge year being the slot guy with Alex Smith at quarterback. A lot of dump-off passes, a lot of short, quick passes, I think will fit him well. So if we're going wide out, I'd probably say Crowder. Mayo Sanders is a good bet, too, although Denver's quarterbacks, that's the thing, is like Denver's quarterbacks I look at and I'm like, I don't know, how does that make sense that, you know, I'm going to take a guy that's catching passes from, who's Denver's quarterback now? Is it Paxton Lynch? No, it's not Paxton Lynch. Paxton Lynch is terrible. It's Case Keenum. What's his face? Case Keenum, right? So, I mean, Mayo Sanders might be fine with Case Keenum. I don't know. If it's me and I'm taking a wide out, I'm probably taking Crowder in the situation. And again, if you guys wanted to go running back, those are the three that I'd look at. It would be Jones, Thompson, and Johnson. I think Marshawn is too dependent on touchdowns for me.
This is he is. I mean, three names that I'm looking at right now. It all depends if you want to go running back or wide receiver. But yeah, I'm going to look at Chris Thompson or Crowder. But then I'm also going to look at Kupp. And the reason why I'm looking at Thompson and Crowder is because they fit Alex Smith. Jamison Crowder, I think throughout his career, has an average of like 2 or 3 yards of separation per reception throughout his career. And those are the kind, that's the kind of player that Alex Smith is going to target. Chris Thompson, we've all seen what he can do in the receiving game. I don't think they're going to play him any differently than they did last year, even with Geis out with his ACL. I think they're going to bounce back and forth between Kelly and Pirine, depending on which one has the hotter hand. And then you're going to see, you know, Chris Thompson get his, you know, 5, 6, 7 carries, get a few receptions. You know, we should see the same guy, and hopefully his leg holds together. Now, Cooper Kupp, I've talked about this many a times, Cooper Kupp, as a rookie last year, he led that team in targets, and he led that team in receiving yards. So him and Goff were clearly on the same page, and they've had a whole other offseason to work together. You know, it's McVay's show over there. There's a chemistry there. We saw it last year. I think, you know, that team actually exceeded expectations to a point. So if you're going to look at a running back, I would say Chris Thompson at this point, given the format and who's available on the board. But if you're going to go wide receiver, I'd have zero problem with Crowder or Kupp.
Yeah. This mid-sixth to mid-seventh, and I'm going to keep saying this until the end of draft season, but the mid-sixth to mid-seventh is going to be the sweet spot for a lot of teams, and I really, really, truly believe that this is the spot where a lot of teams are going to win their leagues in this particular mm-hmm. spot, because you have guys like, and I'm not saying all these are winners, but out of this little group, a lot of the guys that you just touched on, Steve, there's going to be a winner in here. There's Chris Thompson, Duke Johnson, Isaiah Crowell, Carlos Hyde, CJ Anderson. And then on the wide receiver side, you have guys like Emmanuel Sanders, Jamison Crowder, and Cooper Kupp. Those guys I just mentioned, they're going to win somebody at the season just because where they're being drafted, they're being someone here is being underdrafted. I'm not smart enough to tell you who, but there's a winner. there's a winner in those 7-8 guys there. So if you get it right, you're going to be looking really good.
See, here's my thing. Which pick are we at right now?
We are at 6-9.
6-9, yeah.
Okay, so we're coming back around in 6 picks. Now, if this were me, I would take Kupp here with the strong possibility that Chris Thompson would come back around. And you can get another solid PPR wide receiver. And then as your fourth running back, right, because Thompson would be our fourth running back, I believe.
Correct,
yeah. You would have a solid guy for half PPR that you could flex in case of injury, that you could flex through your bye weeks, a guy that's going to be involved in the pass game. You know, and on top of that, taking Kupp, as much as I like Crowder, I don't know if I would want Crowder and Thompson.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because you're kind of looking at the same guy. So I think you got a strong chance to get the value of Kupp and Thompson in a situation like this.
Okay. Pat?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that. I think Kupp, you're right, we'll have a ton of receptions. So.
And you don't want to argue with Steve on Cooper Kupp.
Exactly. That's what I've heard, yeah. Just based on the way he sounds.
Yeah. It starts getting aggressive. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and draft Cooper Kupp for us.
Do it.
After getting Cooper Kupp, let me scroll up here. Guys like Andrew Luck, Kyle Rudolph, Tariq Cohen, Carson Wentz, and Ronald Jones were taken. So we're looking at, we're at 7-4, and guys like Chris Thompson, Duke Johnson, Isaiah Crowell are available. I definitely don't mind the Chris Thompson, like what Steve was saying, but I do like Isaiah Crowell as well. And then Jamison Crowder.
Crowell would be good value right here.
Yeah, Jamison Crowder, Devin Funchess is available, which Funchess is coming up on a lot of reading a lot of articles on sleepers and things like that and late round guys. Devin Funchess is getting more and more exposure. So
a lot of people are sleeping on Crowell, man. There's nobody there. I mean, Elijah McGuire, unfortunately, he got hurt.
Right.
You know, Powell and Rawls, I believe both of them were on the bubble. You know, they were looking at Crowell and McGuire. Those were going to be the guys. I don't know. A lot of people are sleeping on Crowell. And the fact that he's even there, like even just that last spiel before we took Cup there, I almost felt like Crowell was going to go, and I'm shocked he's still there. And the fact that he's still there, I'd almost rather have him over Chris Thompson, to be honest with you.
But that's just fine. Me. I'd be fine with that. And, for me personally, I'm hoping the next round, just so we know here, the next round I'm hoping that, one of the three wideouts, well, actually four wideouts that I'm looking at, Robbie Anderson, Will Fuller, Edelman, or Nelson drops to us. So I'm hoping one of those four guys comes back and we can draft one of those at wideout. I don't want to take them now. I think it's too early. And I think there's too much good depth at running back that I don't want to miss out on. But I'd love to see one of those four guys drop. But yeah, I'm cool with let's do Crowell right here.
Okay. Zero experts agree with us on Isaiah Crowell, but
that's
okay.
That's their problem, man, not ours.
All right. So after we drafted Crowell, a few quarterbacks went off the board: Jimmy Garoppolo and Ben Roethlisberger. And then Chris Thompson was selected at the end of the seventh. And then following that is Marshawn Lynch. Guys like Sterling Shepard, Robbie Anderson, which you mentioned, Pat, and Jordy Nelson were picked 8-8. So the wide receivers we have available now, Devin Funchess, Will Fuller, Julian Edelman. And running backs, we have Duke Johnson, Carlos Hyde, Jamal Williams, and C.J. Anderson. The quarterbacks taken, let's see, there's been, 8, 9, 10, 11, there's been about, 12 quarterbacks taken now. So everybody's drafted a quarterback plus one, and we still haven't taken one. So we're at
the end of the eighth round right now.
Mm-hmm. And everyone's taking a quarterback. And the
four quarterbacks I was talking about earlier, are still there. Cousins, Stafford, Rivers, and Goff.
Yep.
I still think at this point with this pick, if you're comfortable with any four of those guys, I still don't think we need to take a quarterback. Now, a guy that I want to point out, Pat, that you were talking about is Edelman. I mean, if you look at the wide receivers that we have right now, and you're going to be getting him back after the first couple weeks of the season, and you currently have T.Y., Marvin Jones, and Cooper Kupp, I think Edelman would be a solid pick at this point.
Yeah, we have a little bit of wiggle room. I think our wide receivers are looking pretty solid. I agree with Steve here. Yeah, and also... being a Patriots fan, there's nothing wrong with selecting Patriot players. Like, fantasy football is about having fun and rooting for your fantasy team. And if you have Julian Edelman, it makes it that much better. If you're rooting for the Patriots, it makes it a little bit better when, Julian Edelman scores or gets a big catch. So I have no problem with being a homer.
Well, it does. And not only that, but if you're attached to them but not too attached, if you live in the New England area and you play with guys who also live in the New England area, they like those guys too. And so, if that's an opportunity where Edelman's your fourth receiver, he comes out, he's playing well, maybe you need help at tight end or running back, and you're willing to move him, and you can get something good back, maybe even a little bit above value because he plays for the Patriots. I think that that's something – that you need to think about as well, because the other guys in your league may feel the same way about him and may actually value him a little bit higher than somebody else. So I'm totally cool with Edelman. I'd be fine with Fuller here too, to be honest with you. And as far as quarterback is concerned, I mean, I think it would be nuts to take quarterback either here or even in the next pick, because everyone's taking a starting quarterback. I mean, if you're taking your backup quarterback in the ninth round, like, what are you doing? That's crazy. So I think, those guys are going to be on the board until at least the 10th round when we're drafting again. And so, to me, I say forget quarterback for the next two picks, and then we want to take a quarterback in the 10th round, fine. But everyone's taking a starter already. Now we've got to worry about these guys being picked up as backups. So, I'm down with Edelman for this pick here.
Okay. I have no issue with that. All right, we're going to draft Edelman here. So after drafting Julian Edelman, Devin Funchess, Jamal Williams, Carlos Hyde, C.J. Anderson were taken, along with Will Fuller and Duke Johnson. So basically almost every player that we've talked about just got drafted. Let's see. No quarterbacks were taken. And so we still have those four that Steve mentioned. And it's starting to kind of get a little weak here. Now we're looking at players with upside as opposed to guys that can make an immediate impact on your team. Guys like, you know, Nick Chubb, Bilal Powell, Devontae Booker, maybe, you know, Giovanni Bernard. It's pretty dry out there. Chris Carson. Sure, Chris Carson, I think, is a good value here. His name's going to be creeping up in his ADP.
That's the biggest name that's standing out to me right now, even over those four quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, with issues with Penny as well.
Well, and the fact that he's going to, you know, he has a broken finger now too.
Exactly.
Right. So he's going to be missing some time, and you know, Carson, he's been the biggest buzz in camp, and the fact that Rashad Penny cannot pass protect at all. And if you watched in the first preseason game when he was out there, you know, he went to take, I don't remember if it was a corner linebacker, but he went to take a guy on and he literally went into him, but he had his head down. He was ducked. He wasn't even paying attention as to who he was trying to block. So stuff like that is not even going to keep him on the field.
He's a rookie. He's trying to stay alive.
Right.
Yeah, but he was doing that in college, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the biggest thing. He's like one of the lowest graded pass protectors to come into this draft.
And
so
I think Seattle is an interesting case because I feel like Carroll does things a little bit differently than everybody else. And so I wouldn't put it past him to put a running back on the field that can't pass block at all. Just because he's Pete Carroll and he does weird things like that. I do think, however, when you're looking at the list here, Carson has the best chance to be the number one back in an offense that likes to run the ball. And so I think he's the one that probably makes the most sense. You know, I mean, maybe if you feel like Samaje Perine will be the number one back in Washington, but he was the number one back for a while in Washington last year and he sucked. And so, like, I just don't. I look at him and I'm like, yeah, maybe he'll get a ton of carries, but he averaged like basically under 3 yards a carry last year. It was not good. So, you know, I'm not looking for him to be great, even if he does take the starting reps from Fat Rob. So, you know, I think Chris Carson's probably the best choice here, upside wise. And I think even floor wise, he's probably the best choice.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I mean, I think this is your best value for depth as far as roster construction goes right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Do it, Dale.
Chris Carson?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. All right, so after Chris Carson, Latavius Murray, Devontae Booker, DJ Moore was taken 8-9. I think we're going to start seeing that name.
Look at all them quarterbacks that are sitting at the back end of the 10th round for us.
Yep, still the same. Tyler Lockett, Nick Chubb was taken in the middle of the 10th with Nyheim Hines right before our pick. So we're still looking at the four quarterbacks that we saw, what, four rounds ago available. So yeah.
We also haven't taken a tight end yet.
Okay, let's look at the tight ends.
I don't know how you guys feel about that, but...
The tight ends, let's see, 5, 6, 7 tight ends have been taken. Guys like Delanie Walker, Trey Burton, Jordan Reed, Jack Doyle, George Kittle are all available still.
Mm-hmm. See, this is where I think you can get one of those quarterbacks. Yeah. And then out of those tight ends you just listed right there is a guy that you can get coming around with our next pick.
Yeah, I'm cool
I think
that.
You can get two value picks right here.
All right, so let's do it.
All right.
So let's who are you guys taking out of these quarterbacks? So the quarterbacks are available: Cousins, Stafford, Rivers, Mahomes, Goff, Mariota, Smith. I mean, we can keep going down the list, but I think that those, I don't know if Mahomes is in that list for you guys, but certainly Cousins, Stafford, Rivers, and Goff would be the four that I'm probably choosing from. What do you guys think?
I do really like Kirk Cousins, and I get his ADPs rising. And that Minnesota offense, there's a lot of high hopes for him, and I have a lot of stock in a lot of Minnesota Vikings offensive players. So I think I'm going to stick with it, and I'm gonna go Cousins here. I just really like that offense. I think Kirk Cousins can even elevate it further than what it was last year.
Well, if you look, too, that that first drive in the preseason game. I mean, 3 of 3 passes to Diggs and one of them being a touchdown. I mean, it looked like those two have been playing together for 10 years.
Yep.
So, you know, that was a good thing to see there with how good that offensive line is, how good that running game can be, you know, the versatility that they have in the backfield. And then you still have Adam Thielen on the other side. You still have Kyle Rudolph, who's a solid pass-catching tight end as well. So, I mean, there's a ton of weapons there. I mean, I don't think between Cousins or Stafford you can go wrong. But I think, you know, star power, offensive line, backfield, the whole thing, I think Cousins has a little more value than Stafford in with the situation that he has.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, if you go to the – if you look at the wide receivers – right next to the quarterbacks, right? And if you scroll down, you look at the wide receivers next to the quarterbacks, and you just – it makes sense when you look at it, right? The top – out of the top 20 wide receivers, two of them are Vikings, right? You got Thielen at 11 and Diggs at 13. Well, if he's going to sustain two top 20 wide receivers – and, you know, Keenan Allen, obviously, with Rivers is a top 10 – but there's nobody else after Keenan Allen. And then, you know, Golden Tate and, you know, and Marvin Jones is right around 20 as well. But both Minnesota receivers are above both Detroit receivers. I just think it makes too much sense to go with Cousins here, you know, especially if he's supporting those guys. And then you also have Cook coming out of the backfield running the ball. They have a far superior running attack than Detroit does. So it's going to take some pressure off of the passing game in Minnesota. I think it makes sense. Cousins is the pick here.
Here's a fun fact. Well, not a fun fact. Trivia question. When's the last time an actual NFL team produced a top 12 quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end?
Oh, my God.
A wide receiver and tight end?
Yep.
All four of them?
Yep.
Yikes.
I don't know the answer. I'm just.
You don't know the answer?
No.
What kind of trivia question is this?
That's a trivia question.
I was gonna say until you added tight end, I was gonna say the greatest show on turf.
Yeah.
With Marshall Faulk and Kurt Warner and Holt and.
Well, I bet you. Minus tight end, those guys definitely all have to be top 12 for sure.
Yeah.
Outside, I mean, if you want to throw tight end in there, I mean, the closest that you've probably come is some of these recent Patriots teams, you know, with Gronk and Brady.
I think you lose, you know, on the running back, though. The one potential team,
the Saints.
The one maybe. Potential team that sticks out to my in my head right now is that Peyton Manning Bronco team.
Yeah,
because they had a decent run game. You had Demaryius Thomas, you had Emmanuel Sanders, and then Peyton Manning. Basically in one season made Julius Thomas a bunch of money for the rest of his life for being a subpar tight end.
It's a good point.
The Saints, Drew Brees, either Jimmy Graham or Ben Watson, one of those two, they were both top 12 tight ends. And I don't know, Marquise Colston and whoever his running back was, maybe. Maybe.
It's tough.
Was that Deuce McAllister years? Yeah, oh, yeah. Pierre Thomas. Sproles was there.
I don't know if they were top 12, though. I don't know. If anybody knows, let me know, because I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah. No, that's a good trivia question. If we could find the answer out, it'd be even better.
It's Twitter-worthy. Put it out there.
It is. I like
that. Okay. All right. So I'm going Cousins here.
Cousins it is.
All right. So after Cousins, Delanie Walker, James White, Rishard Matthews, Cameron Meredith, Mike Williams, Josh Doctson. So we're at 11-4 right now.
This is a pretty solid team.
Let me break it down for you guys.
Let's read it off real quick. Yeah.
All right. So we have Kirk Cousins, David Johnson, and Jordan Howard, T.Y. Hilton, Marvin Jones. In our flex, we have Royce Freeman. And then on our bench, we have Kupp, Crowell, Edelman, and Carson. This team really fits me. I like it.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. Yeah, I was going to say it's too bad because Mike Williams just got taken two picks ago. I would have happily taken Mike Williams as, you know, what's that, our fifth receiver?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Even before, I mean, I guess maybe we should probably take a tight end at this point, but I think Williams has the potential to be a number one receiver this year. And so, you know, if you're getting a wide receiver two or even a flex guy at this point in the draft would be crazy. So
yep, I agree with you. All right, so our tight ends, we have available Trey Burton, Jordan Reed, Jack Doyle, George Kittle, David Njoku. I don't love Trey Burton. Yeah, and he is a former Gator. Go Gators. But I don't love him. I think he has a lot of bust potential here. Same with Jordan Reed. I like Jack Doyle and George Kittle much better than the first two. But what do you guys think?
I like Doyle and Kittle as well. I mean, I think Ebron has really dropped the ball, pun intended, as he did here in Detroit. So, and there was a clear chemistry, I think, between Luck and Doyle 2 years ago. George Kittle, I've been on the bandwagon with him. I like what I saw with that guy with Jimmy G last year towards the end of the season. I think he has a ton of upside for this year. Jordan Reed, God, you know, that's just one of those guys that you just roll the dice on. I mean, supposedly, you know, the surgery that he had to remove whatever the hell a sesamoid bone is in your toes, I have no idea what that is, but apparently from what is being said, that was the cause of his foot issues, and that was something that would hamper his hamstrings and so on and so forth. And, you know, apparently he's looked good. He's been 100% through camp, and, you know, they're focused on getting him to week one at 100%. So, you know, we've seen seasons where Jordan Reed has played, you know, 13, 14 games, and the damage that he can do. If this is a 13, 14 game season for Jordan Reed, you know, he's a hell of a player. But again, with what we've been seeing the last couple of years, do you really want to roll the dice on that? You know, my thing with Jack Doyle is, do you want to have Doyle and Hilton on the same team because we have him, right? So ultimately, right, in this situation, I'm looking at Kittle.
Now, isn't Kittle out until the start of the season? Isn't he hurt?
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
He separated shoulder, I believe.
I mean, that scares me. Not necessarily that he's going to be out long-term with that, but that scares me. I'm high on Njoku. I mean, I don't know if he's, you know, that could be just hard knocks speaking, but, like, I just think he's an athlete and he's a player, and, you know, whether they can get him the ball or not, who knows, but he's a freak athlete, and I think he could have a big year. So Jordan Reed is one of those guys that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. And, you know, the stock was so high for like 4 straight years. He was terrible all 4 years. He was hurt all year. And this year, nobody's talking about him. He's way down the list on tight end. He's getting drafted wicked late. And there's just something in my gut. I'm like, he's going to have a big year this year. I could be totally wrong. But I just think that, you know, that.
I'm on the same wavelength with you.
Like, that's kind of how I feel about Jordan Reed. And if it's my choice here, I'm taking Jordan Reed at tight end here. I don't know what you guys think about that, but that's what I would do.
It's honestly, at this point, it's a gamble worth taking, because you could always, I mean, if you look at the tight ends that are there, what's left on the
board.
There's
no home runs.
Exactly. There is none whatsoever. And worst case scenario, you're streaming tight ends the rest of the season. So be it. I mean, you look at a guy like Tyler Eifert, right? Supposedly he's doing better. I mean, those are two names right there, Reed and Eifert. Those are guys that were, you know, top 5 tight ends just a few years ago, you know, that we're sitting here now in the beginning of the 11th round, you know, okay, right. Do we roll the dice on them, or do we roll the dice on any of these other names that are on the board, you know? I mean, I guess even Doyle at this point, pairing him up with Hilton wouldn't be too terrible, considering, you know, other than Ryan Grant, there's really nobody else that's really running away with anything now that Deion Kane blew out his ACL. I think he was the only other wide receiver that was really going to step up and do something. So it may not be a terrible thing, but it just all depends on what you want to do.
Right.
All right, let's do
it. All right, let's go Reed. Why not, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
So that fills
it's
up.
It's a mock draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true.
That fills up our starting lineup minus a DST and kicker, and and we have the bench spots filled up. It's looking pretty nice. Cousins, yeah. Johnson, Howard, Hilton, Marvin Jones, Jordan Reed, Royce Freeman, and then our bench is Cooper Kupp, Isaiah Crowell, Edelman, Carson. It's a pretty solid mock draft.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good team. If I ended up with this team, I'd be pretty darn happy. So, yeah. So I like it. Now, listen. Let's skip the last four rounds here because we've been going for a while, anyways. Hopefully, people stuck with us. But I do want to just talk about, you know, one or two guys that are still on the board that you kind of look at, you know, deep sleeper guys, even if they're not on the board. I guess, you know, guys that, you know, you may want to take. I mean, I'm looking at like a guy like Kenny Golladay, D.D. Westbrook, even a guy like Michael Gallup, depending on how many bench spots you have, that could potentially have big years, but you're not necessarily willing to give up, you know, a ton of draft stock to get them. So,
Steve, I'll let you take the lead on this.
All right.
I have a couple guys. Okay, I'll just go because I already have
a couple. Okay, I got a couple guys. I was just going to see if you could scroll down because I feel like I'm missing a wide receiver name here. So I really like, but I hate his quarterback. But I really like John Ross. I think a lot of people are forgetting about him. But again, I really hate his quarterback. Now, one of my favorite sleeper guys at the wide receiver position is Tywan Taylor in Tennessee. We've talked about Corey Davis. We didn't really talk about the run game there at all. Rishard Matthews, I don't know if he's still on the PUP or not. But either way, whether he's going to be involved or not, I know Taylor was working on the outside, but if Rishard Matthews is going to be involved with that offense, he's going to be on the outside opposite of Davis. And Tywan Taylor will work in the slot. He can work both ways, outside. He can work in the slot. And the biggest reason why I look at that is, you know, talking about Matt LaFleur coming over to Tennessee from the Rams and going back to my point with drafting Cooper Kupp earlier, is the amount of targets and receiving yards and everything that he led the team in. And that's where Taylor would fall in. And I think, you know, people are guys like that. You really need to look at systems. You really need to look at how players fit systems. You know, if a new coach came in, where did they come from? What did they do there? What was the personnel they had? How did their personnel play? And then you look and like, okay, well, this player is similar to this guy. I think he fits the system. I think, you know, and when you're looking at late round sleepers, that's what you look for. Yep. And Tywan Taylor to me is a big time sleeper.
All right. I like it. Sure. Dale, what do you got?
Yeah. For me, I mean, don't forget about Samaje Perine. You know, with Geis going down, you can still get Perine, however you say his last name. You still get him.
I think it's Perine.
you know, you can still get him back like in the 10th, 11th round right now. It'll probably creep up as your drafts get closer, but don't forget about him. You're basically getting a wide running back one. You know, we'll see what Robert Kelly does. And I know Chris Thompson is still there, definitely on the pass catching downs, on the passing downs, but definitely keep an eye on him. Kalen Ballage, Miami. I don't believe in Kenyon Drake. I really think that they drafted a running back for a reason. And on top of that, they have Frank Gore running goal line packages and things like that. So I'm not totally convinced with Kenyon Drake. So I'm getting a lot of Ballage late in drafts just as an insurance policy. And my wide receiver is Paul Richardson. They paid him a ton of money. He's a good wide receiver. He gets good separation. He has good hands. He can be a difference maker on this offense. I think Paul Richardson is undervalued.
And people forget Alex Smith threw the ball down the field last year in Kansas City. And when they were successful, that's what he was doing. I wonder if they'll do the same thing in Washington. And if they are, Richardson's the guy that's going to be doing that. Crowder's not going deep. Crowder's running across the middle. So, you know, if they're going to go vertical, which was successful with Smith last year, I think Richardson's that guy, so that's not a bad pick there.
So yeah, I don't disagree with that point of view, because if you really look at what Gruden runs there, and he was counting on Terrell Pryor for that, he was counting on Josh Doctson for that, and both of those guys are absolutely terrible and or injured. So I think that's why they brought in Paul Richardson as that guy to keep the back end of that secondary honest.
Yeah. All right. Well, two things just quickly, and maybe one of you can talk about each that we didn't hit on. Was, and as you talked, you mentioned it, Steve, was the two running back, the two backfields, I think, that are the most up in the air, which is Indianapolis and Tennessee. I just think, you know, with Henry and Lewis in Tennessee, you got two guys that Lewis got paid a ton of money to go down in Tennessee. Henry looked great last year, but, like, are they relying on him? I don't know what the heck they're going to do down there. And Indianapolis, I don't know if they trust Marlon Mack at all. They have Nyheim Hines as a rookie, so, like, just talk about what you think about those two. And like I said, if, you know, one of you wants to pick one of them and talk about one, and the other one can talk about the other one, and we could just kind of bust through those two guys too.
Well, I think in Tennessee, they paid Lewis a lot of money to come down there, but I think Derrick Henry's ultimately going to be the lead guy there. I'm a big believer in him because, I mean, he's a big dude, and he could beat up defenses. He's just deceivingly fast for his size. He could also catch the ball out of the backfield as well. Deion Lewis is going to be a great change of pace. I think they'll probably mix those two up on third down. The fact that Deion Lewis can run routes, don't be surprised if at times you see them both out on the field. And sure. Then when it comes down to game situation, you know, Tennessee's in the lead and they're trying to rely on their run game and defense to grind out games. Derrick Henry, again, massive guy. Yeah. And, you know, you're looking at a tired defense in the fourth quarter, and they can chunk out 3, 4, 5 yards at a time. I mean, you have four downs, right? So Derrick Henry could easily just plug away yard after yard after yard. So he's the one that's going to be grinding down games in the end. He's going to be the one that's going to be getting the goal line touches. So, you know, he's, in my opinion, he's the favorite to, you know, lead volume, I should say, for that team.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Steve. it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, but I am a big Derrick Henry believer.
Oh, for sure.
Well. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I really like Derrick Henry much better than Deion Lewis. Pretty much where their ADPs are right now, I think Deion Lewis is like a round, maybe two rounds or a round after Derrick Henry. I'm okay with that. The split is really weird, and people's commentary on Derrick Henry is strange too. I mean, today I saw on Twitter a big name fantasy guy tweeted. He said something like, "Deion Lewis is better than Derrick Henry. Don't expect to see a 50-50 split on the field." It's like, if he's that much better, like, why are they splitting 50-50? Like, I don't know. It's just the commentary is just, it's so strange, and it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. Everybody has a different opinion on this, but I think I'm with Steve. I'm a Derrick Henry believer.
Okay. And then how about Indy with Mac? I mean, do you trust Mac at all in Indy? Or is Nyheim Hines probably going to take him? Or are you just staying away from that whole situation?
I'm not going to guess here. I'm going to stay away.
yeah.
I am.
See, me, I mean, I was very high on Mac last year, and I really didn't like what I saw. He needs to improve between the tackles and then pass protection as well. Jordan Wilkins is a guy that's been a pleasant surprise. And Nyheim Hines is a guy that I was very high on. But the one thing I didn't like in that first preseason game, and it's something that I didn't see in college, and I'm hoping it's just jitters or whatever, but he fumbled the ball twice. You know, you cannot put the ball on the turf, right? And the fact that Marlon Mack has a hamstring injury, and we all know how hamstrings linger throughout the season.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is a golden opportunity for guys like Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins to, you know, become that lead guy, especially with Robert Turbin being suspended, right? So he's out of the equation. Marlon Mack is hurt. So this is golden opportunity for these guys. So you can't put the ball on the turf. It's for standard formats and maybe even half PPR until we see some things play out even more. It's probably something I would stay away from. Now, however, if it's PPR, with the amount of time that Nyheim Hines has been lining up in the slot position, he's been lining up all over the field. So, you know, he's a guy that you could take in later rounds as a flyer. And with Andrew Luck being back, he's somebody that could eventually become a value for you, you know, much like we saw with Tariq Cohen. I mean, Tariq Cohen was kind of early last year, but Nyheim Hines, I'm expecting probably a little bit later in the season.
Yeah. Well, and that's interesting. I mean, I think for Indy, it becomes a situation where you stay away from Mac completely unless he drops way down. But has ADP, you're not going anywhere near him. And then if you want to take a late-round flyer on either Hines or Wilkins, depending on what's going on over there, I think that makes sense. But certainly a different situation than in Tennessee.
No, absolutely.
All right, so listen, we're going to finish with the three-minute drill. I do a three-minute drill every week. And so literally it's a three-minute drill. And I'm going to put 3 minutes on the clock, and I'm going to ask you a question. So here we go.
And now for something a little different.
Check, check, check. Three-minute drill, said.
All right, so here's my question to you. Normally I talk about something, but I'm going to let you guys talk this time. And I guess I'll maybe interject too. Give me a guy or two that you just will never draft again, that you're just like, there is no way. You know, he might be kind of high up there. He might be liked by other people, but I'm just not touching that guy because he screwed me over 1 year, or I hate the way he plays, or whatever it might be. You know, give me a guy or two that makes you feel that way. Steve, why don't you start us off?
Oh, great. You're going to go with me on that one, huh?
Sorry.
damn.
That is a tough one.
It is a tough one. Go ahead and interject because I want to think about this for a second.
Man.
All right, listen.
I'm sorry.
I'll start.
Okay.
How about I start?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to start, and I'm going to give you Doug Baldwin. I freaking hate Doug Baldwin. I hate everything about him. I just don't, you know, ever since he took a crap on the AFC Championship. No, I don't really care about that. But you know, the thing for me is that he's so inconsistent. And yes, he ends up as a top 15 wide receiver at the end of the year, but like, he has three or four huge games throughout the course of the season, and then he'll have games where he's just awful. And it's just like, it makes me want to pull my hair out. And you have to draft him in the first few rounds. And I was in a situation last year where I took him in the second round because I had no choice, because I had no wide receivers. And I think actually it was like the third round, I think, and there were no wideouts left. And it was the only one that I had the option to take. And I took him, and I hated every second of it. And so, again, he's a guy that's pretty high up, but for me, I was just like, I just can't stand him.
Okay. Well, for me, and I've been playing like serious fantasy football for maybe like 6 or 7 years now, and I've played in like 7 leagues at least every single year, recently a lot more than that. But one guy I've never drafted in all my fantasy football experience was Marshawn Lynch. I can't tell you exactly why. He never fits the mold of my draft. And I never want to trade him. I never want to trade for him.
Right.
For whatever reason, I know it's not exactly your question, but
no, but that's perfect.
It's just a weird one where it's like a, you know, is it a personal thing? I don't know. But yeah, I've never had him on my team ever.
Okay. So here's my guy, and his name eluded me because I can't stand him. But Randall Cobb, I drafted him the year that he blew up. And I took a flyer on him and just say, we'll see how it works. And it worked out, and it did well for my team that year. And I made it a point to draft him a little bit higher than I did the previous year, obviously. You know, he signs that big contract, comes in, the guy's been an absolute turd since. So ever since that season, I vowed I would never draft Randall Cobb again.
I like it. Yeah, that was perfect timing.
Wow, look at that.
Timing just went out. So, but yeah, that's exactly the type of thing I'm talking about. And Lynch for you is funny because I don't draft Marshawn Lynch either. And it's not necessarily like, for me, it's like I physically avoid Baldwin because I hate drafting him. And I had no choice last year because I had to. But like for you, like you say, it may not be necessarily intentional, but he just doesn't fit the thing you're doing.
Right.
And I think that works too. So
yeah,
this has been a lot of fun. I really enjoyed doing
this.
Been awesome. You know, I hope that everyone kind of out there learned a lot, and hopefully it will help you in your fantasy drafts as you kind of come through. We talked about a ton of guys, and we got a lot further than I thought we were going to get. I was going to stop at round 10, and we ended up going 11 rounds. But that was actually, I was going to stop at like round 7 before, and then we just kept going, and it was good. I enjoyed it. So, and I wish this was my
draft because
that's awesome. It's a good team. It is a good team. So,
but before I let you guys go, why don't you just say, you know, where people can interact with you, where they can find you, plug yourselves a little bit.
So you can always find me on Twitter at SPAC21. That's SSPAC21. I do some work with the Eat Sleep Fantasy Instagram page, and then also with Eat Sleep Fantasy's DFS and Dynasty page on Twitter now. You can find me there as well. So I'm kind of all over the place. Those are the places you can find me.
Okay, cool.
Always find me at EatSleepFF on Twitter. That's probably the best place. Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. EatSleepFantasy.com, the number one source for all things fantasy football. I don't know why I said that. I've never said number one source of fantasy. It just came out.
Whatever,
I don't know what happened there.
Nothing wrong with it.
It was great. It was great.
It was really weird for me to say that. I'm sorry.
You can always go on Facebook and just call Dale too.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
You know, I think I really do. I got hooked up with you guys last year. Just kind of, I don't know. I was just like looking at fantasy people, and I was like, these guys seem like they're kind of cool. So I just reached out, and Dale, you and I have, you know, been on each other's shows a few times, and it's been really fun, and I've enjoyed it a lot. And now, actually, if you sign up for a membership through EatSleepFantasy.com, you put in the promo code WWP, you get 15% off. So it's worth it. I mean, shoot, you know, it's a $5. One of them's like $5 for the membership fee. It goes all the way up to $120. The stuff you guys are doing at the $120 level is so cool, like where you're doing like private podcasts and, you know, podcasts for like specific leagues. I mean, it's almost like one of those things. You get a 12-person league. Every guy throws in $10 and someone, you know, gets a $120 subscription, and you get a podcast that breaks down your draft. Like, how cool is that? Like, own like personal podcast, you know what I mean? So it's a pretty cool situation there. So I'm really happy that I'm hooked up with you guys, and you know, I'm happy to have you guys on now, and I'd love to talk to you guys again at some point. You know, maybe we'll get the whole crew when people flake out on us like 5 minutes before 5 minutes before we record again. But that's the way it goes, right? That's what happens. So,
it's been great,
and I thank you very much, and I appreciate it.
No, it's been awesome, man. Thanks for having us on, and we love your podcast too, and I love what you're doing over here. Thanks. So, keep it up, and definitely be talking.
Okay, I want to give a big thanks to Dale and Steve for coming on and doing the mock draft with me. Again, I know I'm more informed for my fantasy drafts that are coming up soon, and hopefully you are too. If you have any questions, reach out to them on Twitter, Eat Sleep Fantasy, Eat Sleep FF, I believe is what it is, on Twitter. Reach out to Steve, reach out to Dale, reach out to me. Any questions you have, and, you know, we'd be happy to talk to you about them. And honestly, we're going through that stuff. And like I said at the beginning, I mean, I have just as many questions as all you have as well. They're the experts, and even they don't really know everything either. So you can definitely, you know, bounce ideas off of other people. Even if you like the guys at ESPN and you love Matthew Berry, you know, don't just follow the advice of one person, because not one person can't be right about every single thing. And so, you know, definitely bounce ideas off of other people as well. That does it for the show tonight. I appreciate you listening. I do want to give, again, Eat Sleep Fantasy another shout out. Thanks to Dale and Steve for coming on. Definitely check them out. They have something for everybody. So their regular podcast is Eat Sleep Fantasy. They do a fantasy football show where they're talking about all different sorts of things. They also have, as Steve mentioned, a DFS and Dynasty show as well that is just focused on DFS and Dynasty. And so if you're a DFS guy, if you're a Dynasty guy, that's the podcast for you. And that's hosted by John and Steve, and, you know, other guys hop on and off that one too. So, you know, definitely check that one out if you're a DFS or a Dynasty guy. Also want to give a quick shout out to Marcus and the Boxers podcast for the intro song and the 3 minute drill sounder. You know, him and Wesley do movie review podcast every Monday, and also Honor the Triforce, Mac and Goo, and Hashtag Dork as well. Big shout out to M. Dot and Core for the outro song. M. Dot is, I believe, heading overseas next week for his big headline. So definitely check him out. If you're not already checking him out, at MDOT Boston to follow along. As for me, online, Twitter-wise, if you want to interact with the show, at Weekend War Pod, no E's, WKND
WARPOD. And if you want to talk to just me personally without, you know, the show or whatever, at WTP Lane. Okay. And so, I mean, it's I control both accounts. I don't have anyone running the other one. So it doesn't really matter which one do you reach out to. The DMs are open on both accounts. So, you know, you want to reach out, absolutely feel free to reach out, ask any questions, tweet at me, tell me I suck, tell me I'm good. I don't care. Just reach out and say hello. Let's talk some sports. All right. Thanks for listening again. I appreciate you. And I'll be back next week with another solid episode. Take care, guys.
Simmons, no timeouts. You gotta go. Williams, three. Yes! You
don't need to tune in. This is a show, bro. Put the game upside down like a strobe globe. We can Warriors. It's a podcast. What you call a commentary? Should I call trash?
Warriors, come out to play.
We can Warriors. It's a podcast.
What you call a commentary? Should I call trash?
Hey, yo. WCP. We Warriors, especially on the weekend. Looking for that sports talk. This is where it be, man. Breakdowns on your favorite teams and all that. Hear about the starters long before the ball snap. You can call Pat or go ahead and call Mike. Cause we here all night. No time to stall, right? 2 seconds left. Clutch shot. It's go time. Knuckles on the O-line. Watch the losers go wild.
Turn me up on that radio dial. It's been a while since I played, but I'm here with a smile. I'm taking jump shots. Get them in and I'm out. I'm breaking records like Bill Russell. Kid has got muscle. Being polite when I'm patting this mic. You see the city of champs coming to victory dance. Buddy, it's radio talk. So turn it up. When it's on, we're gonna listen and rock to what it is that you want.
Warriors, you don't need to tune in. This is a show.